So a few Rashis for the Kriyas HaTorah on Pesach, which this year falls out on Sunday. The section we read in the Torah, just to put it into context, is known as the section of Mishchu U'Kechu Lechem Tzon. It's Chamishi of Parshas Bo, and it comes right after Parshas HaChodesh. So HaChodesh is Perek Yud Beis. We read this on Parshas HaChodesh, Shabbos HaChodesh. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe of how they should eat, what's going to happen that night. The Lev HaSeder, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, and the section of Mishchu U'Kechu Lechem Tzon, Chamishi onward, is Moshe relaying it to Am Yisrael. Second part of that section, Vahi B'Chatzi HaLaila, what happens at night. Many people, of course, the familiar appeared in the end of the Seder, Vahi B'Chatzi HaLaila, what actually happened, the events. The section of the travel, the summary of how long they were in Mitzrayim, and Moshe ben Yisrael, 400 years. And then another small halachic section about all the halachas of Korban Pesach, not only for that year, but for future generations. Those chukas haPesach. So those are the four sections that comprise Kriyas HaTorah. Again, Mishchu Kechu, Moshe's instructions. Vahi B'Chatzi HaLaila, what happened that night. Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Miriam Seis, the actual initial travel and the summary of the 400 years. And then Zos Chukas HaPesach, the laws of Korban Pesach. So let's start from the end of the section. Vahi Miketz Shloshim Shana V'Arba Me'o Shana. 430 years has elapsed. Of course, we know that it was 210 years. We'll talk about this in a few moments. Vahi Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Yetzu Kol B'nei Yisrael Yetzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So earlier Rashis have commented, earlier in the Torah, that Be'etzem means in broad daylight, in the middle of the day, so that they weren't escaping at night. So Noach entered the Teva Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, so that people couldn't claim, oh, had we known about it, we would have prevented, we would have obstructed him. But here Rashi has a very different interpretation. He quotes the Mechilta. Magid, Shekivan Shegia HaKetz, the time had come. It was now 430 years after the original promise to Avraham Avinu, which had began clicking off from Yitzchak's birth. Lo ikvar hamakom. And why, of course, is Yitzchak's birth not really the topic of this Rashi? It's because once Yitzchak was born, the opposition to Avraham's presence in Eretz Yisrael began. Because as long as Avraham didn't have a successor, so he was seen as a flash in the pan, his religious revolution would come and go. Once Yitzchak was born and Avraham wanted to settle the land of Israel and promulgate his message, so you see that the locals started to oppose Avraham's presence, Yitzchak's presence, and Rashi quotes this in the previous Rashi. That's for a different shir. But the time had come. The awaited time had come. The term had ended. Lo ikvan hamakom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tarry, didn't delay. Keherifayin. It happened immediately. Keherifayin. So Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh doesn't denote the time of day, that it was broad daylight or noontime. Actually, they left much earlier. Be'etzem Hayom, they were certainly leaving while it was daylight because it took them a while to leave Mitzrayim, even though they were rushed. But Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in this case, denotes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once the time came, it was immediate, or at least the process was jump-started immediately. Now the question is, why was this so immediate? And of course, this is in line with the general rushed timelines of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Chipazon of that night, the general rushed timelines of that year. It was a very, very rushed year, so I had a difficult time processing all this information, and even had he wanted to change his mind and revert to a more lenient position, it just was happening so quickly. So typically, Chazal talk about the following two issues, but Rashi appears to be adding a third issue. Typically, Chazal say that, unfortunately, and we tend to sugarcoat the past, the Jewish people had fallen into religious dysfunction, religious confusion. They had begun to worship the pagan idols that were so popular in the land of Egypt. Chazal say they didn't abdicate their national identity, their clothing, their language, their dress, but it sounds like religiously, or at least theologically, they had fallen. They had disintegrated. Chazal talk about the scene at the Yam Suf where the Malachim were opposed to granting safe passage to the Jews while drowning the Egyptians. And as they said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's discriminatory treatment. They're both idol worshippers. They're both pagan adherents. So why should the Jewish people escape and the Egyptians be drowned? So in Chazal's terminology, they had reached the Memtes Sharei Tumah. That's more of a Kabbalistic frame of that. There are 49 gates of impurity, just like there are 49 gates of purity, and they had descended so precipitously and so extremely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't wait. Had he tarried a little bit longer, they would have been unredeemable. They would have been irreparable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to remove them as soon as the time came, without waiting, without tarrying. So it speaks about that Mamre Chazal speaks about how low the state of the Jewish people were, and how we shouldn't sugarcoat the past. And other Jews in Mitzrayim may not have, quote-unquote, deserved to be redeemed for their own merits, but they were redeemed because of other factors. And taking all this into account, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be Chishuv HaSakeitz, had to accelerate the process. That's probably the most well-known Chazal about why things happened so quickly, as Rashi says, Keharavayin, based on the word Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. A second reason, which is more prominent in the Medrash, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just excited to take us as his people, and that excitement means you want to get in the first moment. You don't want to wait any. You want it to be as quickly as possible. And Chazal interpret the phrase in Shir HaShirim called Dodi Hinezeba Midaleg Al Harim Mekapetz Al Hagvaot, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared Kivayachol. Not Kivayachol, but Lamashal is compared in Shir HaShirim, which is, of course, the only sefer in which we compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a gazelle bounding over the mountains, leaping over the summits. And the bounding and the leaping expresses both energy and exuberance, enthusiasm. They become bounding and leaping and running and charging, but also leaping over mountains, as they'll say, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaped over time frames. Whether that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shortened it to 210 years, he didn't force us to remain in Egypt for the full 400 or 430. He calculated 430 backwards from an earlier state. Or whether that means not just in the macro level, but the micro level. As soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the opportunity, he was so excited. And it reminds us that the night of Pesach is not just a night of liberty and of revelation and of upheaval and of revolution, but it's a night of a love relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people, which was launched that night, sadly came crashing down about a half a year later, and it's taken all of history to try to recover it and try to rebuild it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeeming us be'etzem hayom hazeh captures the love. So these are the two classic interpretations of why Hashem redeemed us so quickly, either because it would have been too late to wait and the consequences would have been tragic, or because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had so much love for his people, he effectively couldn't wait and took the first opportunity. Rashi implies a very different reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to wait. Keharafayin, b'tesvav Nisan, bo malachei asharis, etzel Avram, b'tesvav Nisan, nolad Yitzchak, v'tesvav Nisan, nigzera gezeras bein habesarim. Rashi takes us back to three earlier events in Jewish history, which all occurred on the 15th of Nisan. Now, Rashi, for some reason, sequences them incorrectly chronologically, but chronologically, the first event is Bris Bein HaBesarim, which occurred on Tesvav Nisan. One could call this the conceptual launch of Jewish history, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers to Avram, this takes him outside, and he sees the stars, and Gir Yisrach HaBeretz Lelohem, and Hashem provides a blueprint of Jewish history that Avram is chosen, but left to be challenged by a world who will be seething at his being chosen. On Tesvav Nisan, a little bit later in the beginning of Vayera, that was the date that the Melechim visited Avram. So Avram's Mila took place a few days before Pesach, or a day or two before, 3 days before Pesach. And we have the sense that Lot was baking matzahs, according to Chazal. It was Pesach in stone, and stone obviously was destroyed on Pesach. And then finally, on Tesvav Nisan, a year later, Keis Chaya, Yitzchak is born. So effectively, this date of Tesvav Nisan isn't randomly chosen. This date of Tesvav Nisan is part of a larger historical trajectory, a larger historical timeline, and these are not three scattered, unrelated events. It's a sequence. First, Jewish history is launched. The next stage of Tesvav Nisan is when there's a successor that's necessary, and of course, it's not just there's a juxtaposition of two events in Vayera. The Malachim aren't just descending to this world to perform two unrelated events. The successor of Avram is being informed, being not delivered, that'll take a year, but Avram is being informed after the Bris Milah that his people will multiply as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him, and that this movement will take root. But part of the Jewish mission is to represent morality and ethics in this world, and to punctuate that, a city that has gone off the rails, that has gone sideways morally, is eliminated. So the elimination of stone is not just randomly associated with Yitzchak's birth, it's crucial to the Jewish mission. So this is a process that has been started hundreds of years earlier on Tesvav Nisan. Now, the overlap that the process climaxes on Tesvav Nisan reminds us that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just Hashem loving his people, preventing them from falling into this abyss of religious confusion, but it's reviving this process that had started hundreds of years earlier. And since it's reviving the process, Hashem, it's almost as if the process is bottled and waiting. It's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating something new. Kivayachal. Hashem is creating a whole new interface, a whole new framework of history. The framework of history has already been established hundreds of years earlier. Tesvav Nisan, this is a day in which history has already been paved. Now the final stage, or not the final stage, but the crucial stage of transforming the history of one into the history of many, the history of a clan into the history of a nation is taking place, but it doesn't take a lot of work, quote unquote. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do is to unleash the whole process, and that's why Kiharified it happened so quickly. So Rashi provides a whole new view on why it happened quickly. The classic view is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried that the Jewish people would fall into this abyss, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so full of exuberance and enthusiasm that he came as quickly as possible. But according to Rashi, there's something else. This is a revival and resuscitation of a dormant process, and that's why it happened so quickly. And on that note, the next pasuk refers to Pesach as Leil Shimurim, but it refers to it twice, and we often migrate to that second Rashi. Second part of the pasuk is Halayla Zeh, Hu Halayla Zeh LaHashem Shimurim L'chol Bnei Yisrael L'Dorosam. So it is a Leil Shimurim L'Dorosam. And as Rashi writes, it's a night of protection. That's why there's a minhag not to recite the entire Kriya Shema, because of Leil Shimurim, V'lo Yiteinem Ashris Levo Batechem Lingov, or it's a night which is reserved for future redemptions, L'Dorosam. But the first part of the Pasuk describes the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim proper, 3,300 years ago. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem L'Hotziah Meretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi doesn't, you would think that that just is a repetition of the meaning of the end of the pasuk, that just like Hashem will protect us for future generations, for eternity, Hashem protected us that night. But Rashi alters the interpretation of Leil Shimurim, and it's very much in sync with the previous Rashi I quoted. Rashi writes, "Shayakadosh Baruch Hu shomer mitzapor lo l'kayim avtechaso l'otziah meretz Mitzrayim." This was a night that Kadosh Baruch Hu was anticipating, was counting down towards. Lishmor sometimes doesn't mean to watch or to guard, but to be vigilant about, to put on your calendar, to pre-schedule, to be waiting for. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for this night called Leil Shimurim because of his promises, and not just because of the legality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to fulfill his promises, because Jewish history was in abeyance. Jewish history was in suspension. And Haftachos had already been issued, and they had to be fulfilled, and Jewish history had to march forward. It's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried what the others would say morally, that is, he hadn't, Chas V'Shalom, kept his word. So these two Rashis together remind us of historical resonance, historical sweep of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fact that it happened quickly because it had already been a day that had redemption carved into it or baked into it. And it was called Leil Shimurim that night because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to implement the promises that he had offered to our Avos and Imos. Another interesting Rashi about matzah. We typically associate matzah with the bread which they took with them from Mitzrayim. They were so rushed, they were so harried, and they were pressured to leave as quickly as possible. They didn't even have time to bake the bread. And the bread could only be baked for a few moments. It was baked into matzah. And when we eat matzah zu al shema, we'll say it at the night of the Seder. Excuse me, shalos pikpitzei kam lachmitz terem. They didn't have the chance to bake their matzah. But if you look at Rashi, and of course into the Pesukim, because Rashi is just noting a phenomenon in the Pesukim, it sounds like there actually are two matzahs. What happens? Paro looks frantically for Moshe, Kumu tzumito chami, please take everything, all your cattle, as you said, by the way, David on my behalf, of Erechtem gam osi, v'techazak mitzayim al ha'am, so the nation, the Egyptians are pressuring the people to leave, kiemru kulanu misim. Now, what happens next? Because they were pressured, the Jewish people take their dough before it becomes chametz, and they tie it to, or they put in some pocket on top of their clothing, on top of their shoulders. We'll talk about the shoulders later. In the next stage, they haven't left Mitzrayim yet. They borrow from their neighbors gold and silver. They receive, and then only finally, they leave Mitzrayim, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, a little bit later on. And once they're out of Mitzrayim, then they begin to bake their bread. And because they're harried and they're running, and because they're on the road, obviously they don't have time to wait. Vayafusa batzeka sheyotziu Mitzrayim, they're already out of Mitzrayim. Ugos matzos ki lachametz, they have to bake them on the road. And by the way, why are they baking matzah on the road? Because they left Mitzrayim too quickly, so they couldn't bake it in Mitzrayim. Begamsi de lo sulehem. So there really are two descriptions of matzah. There's the matzah that we're all acquainted with, which, by the way, it sounds like they're baking, having left Mitzrayim already. Vayisu ben Yisrael miyam seh. So they're baking it on the road, these makeshift ovens on the road. And because they're baking in makeshift ovens, there isn't time for it to rise, to bake properly. And by the way, the Torah tells us, why are they baking on the road? Shouldn't you be baking before you leave and taking food for the road? Tzedah l'derech, begam tzedah l'sulam, because they were forced out of Egypt so quickly. That's the classic traditional view of matzah, with a little bit of an adjustment, that the baking is taking place on the road after they've left already, or at least in the way station of Sukkos. They've left Ramses and they're closer to a place called Sukkot. But before that matzah is even baked, they're carrying matzah on their shoulders while they're still in Mitzrayim. They're putting them in their pockets, in their shoulder pockets. And this matzah is referred to as Misharosam. So all of a sudden it gets very suspicious. Why is this matzah referred to as Misharosam? Misharosam comes from the word she'er. It's leftovers. What is it left over from? Well, it's presumably leftover food from their unfinished Seder. They'd eaten matzah the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, even before they were harried and rushed out of Mitzrayim. There was a mitzvah of al matzah simurim yachlu. That's in Parshas HaChodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to deliver the message, to eat the Korban Pesach. Tzliyesh u'matzos al merim yachlu. So they'd eaten matzah, they'd baked matzah, even before they were rushed out of Mitzrayim. They had matzah. And this was the leftovers from the Seder, which evidently was truncated because the leftover matzah that they hadn't eaten. So Misharosam tells us this isn't the matzah that's being baked on the road or on the way out of Mitzrayim. This is the matzah that was baked 12 hours earlier in the afternoon before that first Seder. And to punctuate, to underscore that point, Rashi says Misharosam means shiare matzah, he quotes the Michilta, but not just matzah leftovers, but maror leftovers. Shiare Mara, from again that original Seder. They couldn't carry the Pesach with them because the Pesach was Nosa. They had to burn it. So they burnt the Pesach really quickly, they threw it on the fire. But whatever leftover matzah Mara they had from the original Seder, the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they carried with them on the way out of Mitzrayim. And then when they reached Sukkot, they realized they didn't have enough, so they had to bake whatever dough they had taken from Mitzrayim, flour, dough, and they baked it into matzah in these makeshift ovens. And the Torah tells us, by the way, that second round of matzah was being baked because they didn't have bread because they were forced out of Mitzrayim. So if you look at the entire picture, they're carrying leftover matzah and maror, not Pesach, from the original Seder, even before they're baking this hasty matzah because they can't leave. So to read the Pasuk differently, they're carrying flour that had not become chametz, but not because they were running out of the country. It hadn't become flour because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had or real bread, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had instructed them not to bake bread, but to bake it into matzah. There's no hint in this pasuk that original matzah is because they were rushed. It's the original matzah because of the divine command. And they put it on their shoulders, and they walk out of Mitzrayim. And then a couple hours later, when they're on the roadside, they finish the last couple crumbs, they have to bake more matzah. Now, what's interesting about this is twofold. First of all, why are they carrying it on their shoulders? So Rashi talks about the fact that they love the mitzvahs that many animals could have carried, but this was their first mitzvah, so they're showing how much they love it. They want to carry it on their person. But why on their shoulders? So the truth is that would be the most likely place to carry. We have bags, suitcases, wagons, but if you need your hands available to move cattle, to carry other, so you carry something on your shoulder or on your head sometimes. But it seems to me as if there's another element that Rashi doesn't speak about, is that this is very symbolic because for hundreds of years they had carried heavy weights on their shoulders. Remember, slaves in earlier times, before they had machines to assist their activity, their work, they're carrying heavy stones, straw, cement on their shoulders. You don't want to carry, if it's not on your shoulder, because then you break your back, then you strain your lower back muscles. You carry on your shoulders, and basically most of the weight bearing is on your body, is on your torso. So they had been carrying all these heavy stones and heavy weights and heavy cement and on their shoulders for 210 years, and now they're carrying their redemptive bread that they're leaving. So it's just a very symbolic moment to carry something on your shoulders. But what I think the larger point that Rashi's Medrash highlights is that it must have been really empowering to eat matzah, to carry matzah from your Seder that hadn't been a function of redemption and hadn't been redeemed yet when they were eating the matzah the first night of Pesach. They still aren't fully redeemed. Obviously, there's redemption in the air. And then to walk out of Mitzrayim and then the next day, once again, bake matzah number two, the sequel. And to see how, number one, prophecies are being fulfilled and how the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered are shaping history. This was the matzah they baked on Tesh B'Av Nisan or in the early hours of Tesh B'Av Nisan. That wasn't the first matzah. They had baked matzah on Yudalad Nisan. And that the matzah they had begun to carry with them, not because they were rushed. Then all of a sudden they're rushed and they're moving quickly out of Mitzrayim and they don't have time to bake their bread, so they bake it on the roadside. And they realize that events aren't random and we're not just pawns in some larger historical process. And our matzah that we baked creates a framework for redemption that takes place the very next day, a couple hours later. And well, we've seen this matzah before in Tesh B'Av Nisan. This is the same matzah we baked yesterday, but yesterday we baked it as a mitzvah. And now the mitzvah we perform is shaping and animating history. So it's something that we don't often pay enough attention to, the two matzahs, the matzah of the first night of the Seder, and then the matzah they baked on the roadside, which was a function of being rushed and not having time to bake the bread. Chag kasher v'sameach.